Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Lord Krishna states here, Aham Sarvasya Prabhu, everything comes from me, all the material and spiritual worlds. If anyone else was to say this, you'd think, what a puffed up fool and rascal. Of course, nowadays we see there are many people who claim themselves to be God. People follow that also. They are followers. Anyone who claims themselves as God, some people will follow. But if you actually consider what it means to be God, the source of everything, all the material worlds, spiritual worlds, they all emanate from Him. It's staggering, more than we can imagine. We can't even imagine how sometimes you see some work of art or some big building here in the, now we're in Arabia, they have the pyramids. So people don't know, how could they build such a thing? It seems to be beyond human imagination how they could build it. They think if you had to build it now, you couldn't build it. If you see one mosquito, no scientist can make a mosquito. They can make a 747 jet, which you might think is better than a mosquito. But the mosquito has some features the 747, or now they have 767. These jets, they don't have. For instance, they don't crash. You may have so many mosquitoes flying around all together in a big cloud, making zzz noise. Sometimes you see a big cloud of mosquitoes, not here. It's one nice thing about Dubai, better than India. But they're not crashing. There's no flight controller, radar, they're not crashing. So a mosquito, if you see any living being, how their body is designed. Even you'll see the scientists, they say everything has come by chance, but they say nature has perfectly designed the body of the mosquito so he can bite you. He can find out where's that hole. Not he, she. It's female mosquitoes. They find that hole. They'll come putting their proboscis and find the hole. How they can find out by some smell, someone is here, let me suck the blood. So how perfectly designed. That's a mosquito. Even one cell in our bodies. When I was at school, they taught me that the cell is a very simple organism, and very soon we'll be able to synthesize them, make cells in the laboratory. So they thought, that's what they thought, they taught me. That's what I learned. But now they studied more and they found that even the most simple cell, it may be simple compared to the structure of the whole body, but it's far more complex than we can even imagine. We don't even understand how it's working, let alone synthesize it. We don't even know how it's going on. So, from the tiniest cell, it's so complex, far more complex than any modern city with all the road system, electricity system, sewage system, police, mayor, different departments. So even a simple cell, and then all the different cells, how they're interacting. When you eat food, you don't think, you don't send some, now it's time for the glands in the stomach to start excreting juices, to automatically, it's going on. So well designed, you can't design such a thing. So, if we just see how life is going on this tiny planet, we can't imagine who could design such a thing. Who could manifest such a thing? Who could imagine such a thing? But Krishna is everything is coming from Him. Millions and millions of planets. And all the life on that. This is His claim. So if anyone says like that, and they're not God, what a gross misrepresentation. If someone is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead and they claim to be God, it's the biggest cheating and biggest nonsense People in the modern age are very proud. They have our PhD degrees and so many things. But you'll find even PhDs, they're running after some bogus incarnation. That's why Prabhupada sometimes he said PhD. PH. That means there's one word, PLOUGH. It begins with P and ends with H. PH. So he said that means plow department. You should go and plow the fields, do something useful, instead of talking all nonsense. And making big PhD, but you don't even know ABC of what is the real knowledge. You should understand, who am I, who is God? These things you should understand. Instead you're talking so many big things, so many theories. Aryan invasion theory, and this theory, another theory. Becoming very proud. We have made so many things. We have invented so many things. They're always inventing so many things, making progress. When I was in London, I saw they invented some wonderful machine, because they're always digging up the roads, because they always have to make progress. So they always have to dig the roads to make some more traffic jams. They're digging up the road because they have to put some new electric line or telephone line, but there are already so many things under the ground, sewage lines and electric lines, telegraph line, this line, that line, another line, cable TV. So they don't always have the updated map of what's going on under the pavement. So many times they dig a hole and that's it. That's all the phones out for so many hours until they bring in their emergency services to put the phone, or the electric goes out or something. So now they invented a machine that can, it does a kind of x-ray, and it can see all the different lines so that you don't just dig and throw the whole system out. So isn't that a wonderful progress? Wonderful. They made the problem, and now they so-called solve the problem, and they say, see, here we're making progress. This is described in the Bhagavatam. It's just like a man is carrying a big weight on his shoulder. So he says, it's too heavy. What is the solution? I know. Put it on my other shoulder. That's it. So you feel a little relief, but you're just getting more pain on this side. That's all. So they may be very proud, but ABC you don't know. Prabhupada was astonished. So many times he expressed, he discussed with a big professor in Moscow, Professor Kotovsky, who, when Prabhupada was discussing how we have to, this was a professor of Indology. So he was studying Indian philosophy. They call it Indian philosophy. Although, as Prabhupada said, there's no such thing as Indian philosophy. What does it mean, Indian philosophy? Philosophy means that which is a fact. So it's not that something is a fact in India, not a fact somewhere else. 2 + 2 = 4. Well, according to my philosophy, different philosophy, I have a different philosophy. I have my rights as a citizen, free country, to believe whatever I like. But that which is a fact, there's no point to make a different opinion. So 2 + 2 = 4, that is a fact that you have to accept. If you don't accept it, you're simply a fool. And if you try and preach it, you're a rascal. See, there's a distinction. Fool means he's simply a fool. And rascal means he tries to make others foolish by preaching his nonsense. That's the difference. So this Professor Kotovsky, professor of Indian philosophy, Indology. Indology is a subject which was invented by the British to show that the Indian people don't know anything. That was the idea, to show that they're all backwards and the British are the best. Therefore we should conquer over the Indians and civilize them, which they've done a very good job. You see now all the Indians wearing pants and shirts and going to discos, and women are cutting their hair and becoming liberated, and so many things. So anyway, this Professor Kotovsky, they were discussing, Prabhupada was discussing how you leave this body, you have to go to another body. He said, no. When the body is finished, everything is finished. So Prabhupada was quoting this as an example. That, what a fool. This man's, his whole life study, he's a PhD, is to study Indology, and the basic point of this, the first point of philosophical understanding is to understand they're not the body. When the body is finished, You are not finished. You continue to exist. Prabhupada, he would say, even the uneducated farmer in the village in India knows this, and your big PhD in the West doesn't know it. When the body is finished, everything is finished, he says. So, philosophy means to know that which is correct, that which is a fact. And if you don't know what is the correct, what is the point, then you're wrong. However nicely you may state it, however many big theories you may have, however many doctorates you have, you're wrong. So here, the fact is given that Krishna is the source of everything. Krishna is the Supreme Absolute Truth. Why? How can we say this so boldly, that Krishna is supreme? If someone else will say, I am supreme, nothing is supreme, this is supreme, why are you even discussing supreme, let's go to the bar and drink a beer. They'll say so many things. But here, Krishna is established as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of all emanations. Why? Because the Vedas say, Prabhupada has given so many Vedic evidences. Bhagavad Gita is the summary of all the Vedas. In the Kali Yuga, you can't study so many Vedas. And even if you do, you can't understand. So Krishna has very kindly given us the essence. Bhagavad Gita is the Sarva Upanishado Gavo, just like Kamadhinu, cow that gives all the nectar. Dugdham Gitam Ritam Mahat, nectar, milk. All the essence of Vedic knowledge in one book. Now here is stated, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of everything. And Prabhupada has given so many quotes from the, especially from the Upanishads. The Vedas, Traigunya Vishaya Veda, they're mostly engaged, mostly the Vedas deal with karma, how to become materially opulent, how to enjoy by a pious method. So there's karma kanda. Then jnana kanda means Upanishads. What is the essence of knowledge? So here, quoting from the Upanishads, that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Narayana Brahma Jayate. From Narayana, Brahma, the creator of this universe, came. All the different. Narayanad Ekadasha Rudra Jayante. All the Brahma, Shiva, they're all coming from him. And Narayana is coming from Krishna. Narayana is Krishna. So Krishna is the Supreme Lord. That is the Vedic version. And Prabhupada states here, only a fool would consider Krishna to be an ordinary man. Now, if this kind of statement, mostly in the modern age, people, they don't like this. That how? Why will you call a fool? Because he's... I don't believe Krishna is the Supreme Lord, but how can you say I'm a fool? I'm also educated. I also have studied so many things. I also have my opinion. You may be educated. You may have studied so many things. But if you don't accept Krishna as the Supreme Lord, you're a fool. Because you don't have actual knowledge. The actual point of knowledge, what is the point of knowledge? Krishna is the object of all knowledge. All the Vedas are meant for knowing Krishna. Veda means knowledge. That is knowledge. What is in the Vedas? And what is outside of the Vedas? What is not? You may be studying so many material things. But that's not the actual point of knowledge. The actual point of knowledge is to understand who we are, what is the purpose of life. Who is God? What is our relationship with Him? And that knowledge is compressed in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is the object of all knowledge. So this is the thing which is to be known. If you don't know that, then it's all superficial. That story, the simple story of the boatman and the scholar illustrates how the big scholar was riding over the river with the uneducated boatman. So he was a big scholar. He asked the boatman, do you know about biochemistry? Never heard the word. Do you know about meteorology? He never heard all this ology, all these different things. Sociology, so many different things. So then there's a storm and they're going to drown. The boatman, he's rowing the boat over the river every day, chanting Hare Krishna. You'll still find in Bengal there are so many rivers. The boatmen, they sing, they like to sing as they row their boats. Now they've all got engines on their boats, yeah, just like here also before. Now they have engines. So the boatman is, he knows how to swim, the scholar doesn't, so the scholar is drowning. Do you know how to swim? The boatman asks him, no. So you wasted your whole life. Do you know who is Krishna? No. Okay, well, you're going down in the river, and you're going down, down, down. Who knows where you will go? At the time of death, nahi nahi rakshati tu krinkarane. You may be so learned, even in Vedic knowledge, if you're learned but you don't know Krishna, if you don't know the purpose of knowledge, that knowledge will be like a big heavy weight which will drag you down. Why? Because generally people become proud, I know so many things, but if you don't know Krishna, then what is the value? The purpose of all knowledge is to understand this simple point, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is Vedic knowledge. Now, at least among, traditionally, among the, if we say, we talk about Indian philosophy, there's no Indian, it's not Indian, what is fact, but at least we can say that what has been discussed in the land which is now known as India, that knowledge which has been discussed, that is based on Vedic knowledge, that which is in the Vedas. Buddhists, they are accepted as atheists. Now, one, there are different reasons for that. One reason is because Lord Buddha, even though he's an incarnation of the Supreme Lord, he doesn't teach about God. He's an incarnation for a special purpose. Just to save people from going down further, 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 he came to stop the animal killing. That Sadhara Hridayadashita Pashugata. He was very kind and seeing the animals killed, he wanted to stop that. So, Lord Buddha is he's an incarnation, but his teachings that is considered to be atheistic. But the main reason why, Vedna Manya Bodhoito Nastik, because they don't accept the Vedas. If you don't accept the Vedas, then you are considered to be an atheist. Because the Vedas, that is called Brahma. That means that the Vedas themselves, that is spiritual knowledge, that is of the essence of all spiritual substance in and of itself. So those who don't accept the Vedic knowledge, they are considered to be atheists. Now, this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that Vedna Manya Bodhoita Nastik. Then, Vedashita Nastik Yabad Bhodake Adhik. He says those who speak the Vedic knowledge, but actually they don't accept Krishna as the Supreme Lord, if they're atheistic, they're worse than Buddhists. In other words, if you reject the Vedas, that in itself is very bad. But if you interpret in a different way, so as not to accept Krishna, if you deny Krishna, that's even worse. Now here we see in the Bhagavad Gita, it's very clearly established, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo, Matas Sarvam Prabhatate. Krishna is the source of everything. But there are many people who will speak on Bhagavad Gita, but they won't describe this. They'll describe it in a different way, even though it's absolutely clear. Aham, Krishna says. I. Krishna was speaking before Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. It's recorded by Vyas. Sanjay spoke this. He saw this before he relayed this to Dhritarashtra. It's very clear when Krishna says, Aham, what is the meaning? That means Krishna, who is standing before Arjuna, he is the source of everything. But those who are envious of Krishna, they don't like to accept it. This is our disease, why we're in this material world. What are we doing here? Why are we here, struggling to make a living in Dubai or wherever? Why is it? Why do we have to do this? Why do we have to die? Why do we have to suffer? Why is it? Here in Dubai especially, they're making a big facade, how nice life is, it's so wonderful. Everything is clean and orderly, and there's plenty of money, and everyone's happy, and we have nice food, but nothing in this material world lasts. It won't last. You see, now they're charging for the parking, and they're going to charge for the phone calls. The economy is going down. Heaven is finished. So everything's temporary, nothing lasts. America, great empire, controlling the world, it won't last. None of them, you see the big empire was there in Iraq, that was a big empire. Now they're, previously, Babylon, now they're finished. Egypt, Greece, these are all big, prestigious empires. Now, what is it? The people only go there for tourism, that's all. Because it's things are cheap and you can lie on the beach in the sun in Greece. So nothing is nothing in this material world is lasting. That is the nature of this material world. But why are we here? Why we should think about this. Why are we here? Because the reason is given in Shastra. Krishna, Bhuli, Seji, Anadi, Bahirmukh. Those who forget Krishna, they become envious of Krishna. Atev mayatare desham sharaduk. Therefore we are suffering the miseries of material life. Bhayam duti abhinivishta sat ishada petyasya vipariyo smriti. Because we are envious of Krishna, we have come to this material world. This is the reason. So then people who read the Shastra, they read, Krishna says, I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me because they're envious of Krishna. They don't want to accept. Even though Shastra is there, so many quotes from Shastra there. Ishvara Parama Krishna. He is the supreme controller is Krishna. Very clear. Satyadananda Vigraha Anadi Radhya Govinda Sarvakarana Kana Govinda Madhi Purusham Kana Amrajan. Throughout Shastra, is established. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But those who are very deeply envious of Krishna, they won't want to accept. Therefore, even though they may be very learned scholars, they are called fools. Here Prabhupada is used, you'll find Prabhupada is often using the word fool because it's the only appropriate word. I mean, you can use some euphemism. You could say it politely, more politely maybe. You could say, someone who doesn't know what is the actual fact, but there's a short word, it's only four letters, and it exactly describes the situation. The word is fool. So it may be a little harsh, but that is required also. It's black and white. Nowadays we have ideas of eclecticism. Everyone should have his own opinion, and you just take whatever you like, you take some idea, a little bit of that idea, a little bit of this idea, and mix it up in your own soup, whichever way you like, and make your own philosophy. But there's no such thing. The fact is the fact. Krishna is the Supreme Lord. You have to surrender to Him. Then your life will be perfect. Then your life will be successful. And on the other side, we're just reading the shloka. Ashada dhana purusha Dharmasyasya Pirantapa Aprapyamam Yavaratam Mutu Samsara Bhartmani. Can you please give the translation? Without looking at the book? Alright. Well, I don't know it off by heart either, but I can say Ashadadhana Purusha. Those who are not faithful in the path, I know, but exactly word by word, I don't know. Those who are not faithful in the path of devotional service, they cannot attain to Krishna, but they have to come back again to repeated birth and death. That is the result. It's very clear. Krishna says, surrender to me. Sarvadhaman parityajama ekam sharanam raja ang tvang sarva papevyo moksha yasham. You surrender to me, you go to me. And if you don't, mrityu samsara vartmani. So it's black and white. It's not, you see, in the modern age there's all this shades of grey, murky grey, opaque. You can't, it's they're all different opinions. Well, I think this and I think that, but Krishna is quite nice, but then, you know, why did he do this? And he told a lie, and how can he be God? And so many different ideas.
So many different, even they'll take the Shastra, even they'll perform the, yes, I like devotional service, but I can also do something a little bit different. If I don't follow properly, it's okay. Everyone is making, what are all these philosophies? Everyone's making different philosophies. Why are there so many philosophies in the world? Sometimes we hear this question. Why are there so many philosophies? Because truth is one, just like 2 plus 2 equals 4. It doesn't equal 4.0001. It doesn't equal 10. If Krishna is the Supreme Lord, it's fact, according to all Veda, Shastra, Acharyas, it's clear. From Srila Rupa Charita Parama Prakrishta, this verse by Yamunacharya. Sadvena Sabhikataya Pravalaischa Shastray, Prakhyata Daiva Paramata Vidangataischa, Naivasada Prakataya Prabhavanti Goldham. He says that it's absolutely clear by Krishna's activities, by his character, by all the descriptions of Shastra, from all the Acharyas, it's absolutely clear that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then why others can't understand? Because they are asuras. Therefore their intelligence is deflected in a different way. They can't see. It's like the blind, trying to show a blind man the sun. The sun is self-evident. You don't have to make a scientific experiment. Is the sun in the sky now or not? It's very clear. But a blind man, he can't see. And a blind man will say, prove it. We're not sun. I can't see it. Come on, prove it. And everyone else will say, what is there to prove? Everyone can see it. Or even worse, you have your eyes closed. I remember my sister, when she was very young, she used to come to me with her eyes closed and said, you can't see me. I could see her, she couldn't see me. She thought because her eyes are closed, and she can't see me, that I can't see her. So that it's very clear. It's not simply an academic matter that you study Shastra, but that is revealed knowledge. Prakashante mahatmanaha. Yatsya deve para bhakti yata deve tata guru. Tatsyaite katita hayata. Prakashante mahatmana. Those who have implicit faith in God and Guru, to them all the imports of Shastra are revealed. It's not simply that, yes, you write some examination, you get a degree, Bhakti Shastra. That's experiential knowledge. Experience in that also. Raja Vidya, Raja Guryam, Pavitra Midamutu. Pratyaksha Gavamang Dhanyam, Susukam Katha. Pratyaksha. By personal experience, you can experience what is the effect of Krishna consciousness. Chaito darpana marjanam, bhavamahadam, patipadam punamritas vadanam. You can, all these things, cleansing of the heart, knowledge is revealed within the heart, happiness, that you, all these things come from chanting Hare Krishna. You can experience them. But those who are fools, those who are determined not to be Krishna conscious, they can never understand. They have also duravata. In Gita we see, satatam kirtayanta, no? Yatantascha duravata, namaschantascha mangvati, nityayukta upasate. Those who have got a very firm vow to worship Krishna, they're always glorifying Krishna. They're bowing down to him, they're worshipping him. So in the same way, there are those who are duravata, not to worship Krishna. Satatam, what would be the word? Nindam. They're always blaspheming Krishna, or avoiding Krishna, or trying to forget Krishna with a firm vow, I shall not be Krishna conscious under any circumstances. So how are you going to understand? How are you going to convince someone that Krishna is the Supreme Lord if they're determined to avoid Krishna? But for those who do want to understand Krishna, it's a very simple thing. It's very clear. Shastra is there, Acharyas are there, the process of Krishna consciousness, then you can take it on. And everything becomes very clear. Krishna is the source of everything. And then all questions become answered. What's that verse in 15th chapter Krishna says? Who knows me knows everything. What is that verse? No. But Yoma Majamanadi Mamsa. No, that's in the 10th chapter. Janati Purushottamam Sasava Bhajati Mamsava Bhavana Bharati. That who knows me knows everything. So everything becomes answered. Now you may say, well, does that mean if you become Krishna conscious, you know everything? How many windows are there in the Empire State Building? In Krishna conscious, you should know. How many mosquitoes are there in Bombay? You know? One less. You should have a constant count. You know everything. What does it mean? Just like Prabhupada was asked once, that what does it mean, Prabhupada, when it says that you know everything? He was asking that, do you know everything that your disciples are doing all the time? Prabhupada said, I only know what Krishna thinks I should know. That he reveals to me. It means he is in contact with Krishna. That means what Krishna wants him to know, he'll know. What Krishna reveals. Not that he is as all-knowing as the Supreme Lord. Vedaham samatitani vatamana avishyani chabhutani. Past, present and future, he knows everything. So when Krishna says he knows everything, what does that mean? That means he is tatvabodha. He knows what is the fact. He knows what is the truth. Then everything becomes clear. Otherwise, everything remains unclear, just like that question was there. There may be so many questions like this. That Sudha Goswami was speaking at Naimisharanya, and so many sages were listening. They didn't have any microphone, we presume. Then how did they all hear? It was a good question. Well, what's the answer to that one? The answer is, well, we don't know exactly, but they must have heard, because it says in Shastra, we all heard it. They must have had some system. But there may be so many things we can't understand. So many things, just like that example, how the mosquito is flying. There may be so many things you can't understand. What do we understand? Every time they send some new, they say they're sending some new spacecraft, then they say, well, now by the new information we got, it changed our whole understanding of the universe. So whatever they understand, it's always changing anyway. There are so many things that are described in Shastra. Just like Krishna, he took Arjuna through the coverings of the universe to see Mahavishnu. That so many things are described. That Draupadi, she has the pot that she can feed everybody as much as they like. There are so many stories like that. So many. You'll find there's that story that the boy, he had nothing to give his teacher. It was the time to give some gift to the teachers at the end of the year, at the end of his study. Nothing to give, he's from a poor family. So he was crying in the forest as he was walking home, what to do. Then one nice friend of the family, bluish boy, named Gopal, came to see him and said, give this pot to your teacher. So he brought, it's a pot with yogurt in it. The teacher said, what is this? I've been teaching you for 15 years. And only one pot of yogurt? What is this? He just knocked it over. The yogurt came out. And it kept on coming out. Unlimitedly. So there are so many... There may be so many things. If we try to apply our mundane intelligence to, we can't understand. Achintya kalu ye bhava natangs takena yojiya prakrite vyapriyam yachita tadachintyasya lakshanam. This is a very important point. That there are some things which are inconceivable. There are many things which are inconceivable. How we're even existing, that's even inconceivable. How our food is digested, that's inconceivable. How the mosquito is flying, such a perfect machine. Everything. So that which is achintya, that means that which is not within our power of mentally conceiving, it's not even worth arguing about it. It's going on. It's going on by the power of God. It's not even worth arguing about. It's why argue? Just accept. God is great. It's by His design, by His way of doing. He is the creator of the universe. Everything comes from Him. So He has His ways of doing things. So just instead of trying to figure out everything with your brain, which you'll never do anyway, just accept. Oh, this is the power of God. It would save us so much trouble. We have so much scientific investigation trying to understand so many things, but you can't understand everything, it's not possible. And even if you, even if someone was to make so many investigations, but so many investigations are going on different areas of science, but you can't understand everything. One scientist doesn't understand what another scientist is talking about because they're in such different specialized fields. So what's the, just like they're studying how to make different kinds of grains, different kinds of seeds, but you don't have to. Already, for thousands of years, people have been growing rice and wheat. You don't have to have new improved strains. What's the value? They've already got so many strains. The new improved strains, they just make a big mess. It's improved, 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 and after some time you find that everything's a failure. Just like now you'll find so many areas of the world, it was previously fertile land, but they wanted to improve it with fertilizers, and now it's completely useless. So now they have to do some more scientific research. What is the scientific research? Just stop interfering, you fools, and let nature do its own job, and the land will be very nice, because that's God's arrangement, and you want to do better than God. And you just make a big mess. So you don't have to investigate all these things. At school you learn how the grass is growing by the interaction of chlorophyll and sunlight with water. You don't have to. It's going to grow anyway. You don't have to. God is already arranging that. You take the grass and you feed it to the cow. You take the milk. That's all. You don't have to investigate, improve this. And so many improvements they're making, but the world's a mess in every way. So much ecological disaster in the name of improving everything. The whole world's in a chaotic condition. Socially, morally, every way, disaster. So therefore we say, don't be so over-intelligent. Just accept. Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He's given you everything in the Vedic knowledge, the Vedic lifestyle, how to live a sane life. Now we have so much scientific progress, but people, they don't live in a sane way. People are so discontent. The only goal of life is simply how to make money and enjoy. They're living like animals. They have no higher knowledge. So the Vedic way of life, it gives all knowledge, spiritual knowledge, how to live as a proper human being, very civilized life, peaceful life, relatively happy life, as happy as you can be in this material world. And investigate this point. Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He is the source of everything. Therefore, we should surrender to Him. This, if you take it up, then you'll find, this is also an experiment, you'll find that your whole life you become illuminated with knowledge. And otherwise, you just become foolish. The whole modern civilization is foolish. It's based on the idea that we're only here for a few years, so we should enjoy. Enjoy as much as you can. Very foolish civilization. And they're not enjoying. They're suffering like anything. They can't even have peaceful, stable family life because they've made the enjoyment is the best. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. Well, I enjoyed my wife for so long, now I should enjoy someone else's wife. That's what they think. But then the husband doesn't think it's so enjoyable to him. So he comes and breaks your head and you don't enjoy. You want to enjoy the wrong way, and you get your head broken. That's not very enjoyable. So this is the modern way of life, simply based on enjoy, 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 enjoy. Because they have no higher knowledge. Then what will they do? Higher knowledge means they think higher knowledge means get PhD, MSc. But what is the purpose of life? To understand God? No idea. Therefore they come down to animal level, or worse. Actually, Prabhupada said that modern so-called civilized man is lower than the lowest animal. His analysis. Because even the animals, they don't... Maybe the lowest, maybe some snakes, they eat their own children. Or the... What's that? The black widow, there's one kind of spider. After mating, she eats her husband. So, human being has become like that. All over the... You see America, they're talking about human rights and we have to stop the Serbians killing in Kosovo. We want peace in the Middle East. How is it going to be peace? You look in your own backyard. What are you doing? More than 1 million abortions in every year. Millions of animals killed. McDonald's hamburgers, more than 1 billion served. How many animals had to die? And you're talking about peace and human rights. What human? What did the children in the womb do to deserve to be cut before they even had the chance to be born? What about the cows? They're simply peaceful animals. You torture them all their lives and then cut their throat. And you want peace? How is it possible? They don't know. What are the laws of karma? You can't live peacefully. Even if you have a so-called peaceful state, America is peaceful with prosperity. But people are not happy. Therefore they have so many murders, so many suicides, so much drug abuse, alcoholism. Because people don't know how to live like human beings. Human life should be based on this point. Simply to understand, who is God? What is my relationship with Him? That you'll get from Bhagavad Gita. Very simple thing. Simply accept Krishna is the Supreme Lord. There must be some Supreme Lord. There must be. Everything hasn't simply come from nothing. That's a very foolish idea. Everything has come into being by chance. If you say by chance, that just means you don't know what is the actual fact. How did this video camera come in? I don't know. So I don't want to say I don't know. So I say by chance. It's nonsense. Obviously, someone put it there. So it's the same thing. How did this whole universe come? You don't know, so you say by chance. Well, that's nonsense. Someone must have put it there. So who is that someone? You're not going to find out by experiment. You can get the knowledge here. Krishna, aham sarvasya prabhava, matas sarvasya prabhava. So, simply accept this and follow the lifestyle given by that, and you become godly. You don't become God, but you become godly. You become situated in your proper position of service to Krishna. Then you become happy. Then you get free from birth and death. That is the success of your life. Anything else, that's not success. Therefore, Prabhupada is saying here that if you don't accept this, you're simply a fool. It's very strong language. It's a fact. It has to jolt us, wake us up. But how foolish it is that you get this human form of life. And you have Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling, this is, here I am. You worship me, bow down to me, you'll come to me. And we don't accept. So, let us not be fools. Let us not waste our opportunity. Let us worship Krishna. Buddha bhava samandita. We should become Buddha, not buddhi, not fools and rascals. We should become intelligent and worship Krishna. Hare Krishna. Is there any question, please? No question.
Sometimes you're talking about the faith. How much faith we have in the Lord. Sometimes our faith is very strong in the Lord, and sometimes there are questions. What's the reason for it?
Sometimes our faith feels strong and sometimes weak. What is the reason? That means that we're not fixed in Krishna consciousness. We're still on the shaky platform. When you become more advanced, then your faith is not diverted in any circumstance. That means neophyte platform. That means we're still attracted to so many material things we haven't accepted the fact. Krishna is the Supreme. Therefore we have to hear again and again and associate with devotees. That exactly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said this, that Shadhavanjan Hoy Bhakti Adhikari Uttam Madham Kanishta Shadha Anushara. That faith is the basic qualification for advancement in Krishna consciousness, and one is known as topmost, medium, or Kanishta, beginning platform, according to his level of faith. Jaha Kumal Shraddha Shri Kanishta Jan, who's got very flickering faith. He's in the very Kanishta, or junior, beginning state. So we should increase our faith. Why? If you're feeling not faith, why? What's the problem? And we should discuss. What's the problem? What don't you believe? You don't believe that Bhagavad Gita is true, or you don't believe that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, or, then you have to discuss. Let us discuss. This is a question. What are your doubts? Bring them. Tasmad kurung prapadyaita jigyasa shrayamutamam. You should go to Guru and ask, what is this? What is this problem? It shouldn't be difficult, but we find it difficult because we're contaminated. Therefore, practice is there. It's called sadhana. Sadhana means a process of practice by which we become advanced. Therefore, we should follow the process of sadhana. By that, we become purified. And have faith that if I follow this, then certainly Krishna will help me. Even if it's going to take me millions of lifetimes, still I should do it. Even if I'm making very slow progress, at least I should make some progress. We should have faith that if we go on with sadhana, then gradually we'll become more advanced. Whatever, sometimes we may be feeling very happy in Krishna consciousness, at times we may be feeling it's very difficult, but that much determination should be there. But I must continue, whatever. Even if everyone is against me, or even if I don't feel like it. That's why we have rules. We take vows, no meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gun. Minimum 16 hours. Sometimes you may feel very tired, or you don't feel like it. But the rule is there, you have to do. And if you do, you'll be benefited. Actually, when you're feeling more difficulty to chant, and surrender. That's the time to make more advancement. When you're feeling very, yes, everything's wonderful, jai, Hare Krishna, Krishna, jai, etc. But another time you're feeling, oh, nothing. That is the time when you're feeling less enthusiastic. The less enthusiastic means the influence of the lower modes of nature. That is the time when you should beat your mind and chant more. No, I'm not going to be a rascal. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna, help me. That is the time to make more advance. Don't surrender to Maya. Surrender to Krishna. You can chant loudly.
I want to ask, should we force us into like...
Yes. Otherwise, if you don't force, then how are you going to... If you're only waiting for waves of ecstatic love to flood your heart, and then you'll chant Hare Krishna, it's not going to happen so quickly. So some force is required. Force means you know that it's something good, so you should do it. Just like when you're studying for the examination in the school, so there's some idea that it's worth doing, therefore... Even though I'd like to go and play sports, I should study. Because you know that it's something useful for me. So in the same way, at least with knowledge, we take up some... Force means, where's the force? It's a self-accepted discipline. We accept it. Force means no one's going to come and beat you. If you don't chant Hare Krishna, Maya will come and beat you. That's for sure. But because you're in Maya, you don't recognize that. So, sadhana means we take a vow that I will do this. That's called self-discipline. Yes, it's a kind of force, which we take up in knowledge for our own highest benefit. Otherwise, if you just say, well, you know, I chant Hare Krishna, so when I feel like it. That's why we have a minimum. Because if you only do it when you feel like it, then you probably won't do it at all. Because who feels, you know, you'd much rather let me sleep more, or watch TV, or play cricket, or there's so many things you can do in this material world which seem to give some instant pleasure. Now if I play cricket, then boom, I feel, you see, exercise, body feels very good, and so there's some instantaneous pleasure. Chanting Hare Krishna, if we're not... In the beginning it may seem like bitter. And you see, even if you're singing bhajans, it's some kind of musical entertainment. But chanting, it actually requires you have to listen and be serious. In some ways it's not so easy when we are materially absorbed. It requires self-discipline. But the effect will be there if we do it. Even though we're not chanting purely, but the effect will be there. We have to keep on trying with the faith that Krishna will help us.
Maharaj, when you're not well, suppose you're sick, how do you feel?
If you're sick, well, chant as best as you can. And if you're so sick you can't chant at all, then see a doctor, get better. And then you have to make it up afterwards. I must admit, last year I had some heavy fever. I didn't chant for 4 days. And then and then the next few days I was recovering, and I gradually got to the point where it took me all day to chant 16 rounds, and then I gradually got to the point, but then I had a list. I have so many rounds outstanding. So you have to, when I first joined the temple in London, there was one guy I saw, I was chanting all day. I said, "You're chanting a lot of rounds." I said, "Yeah, I was sick for a week. I couldn't chant, so I'm making up my rounds." So you can do. How do we explain this shloka, 10:8, to Christians and Muslims, that Sri Krishna is the source of all material spiritual worlds? You may not be able to. You can explain to those who are willing to listen. If you say Krishna, if you say God, they'll accept. But if you, who is God? Krishna. That they may not accept. So you can explain to Shraddhavan, what I was just quoting, Shraddhavan joy, jan hoy bhakti adhika. Those are some faith. They have the adhika to take up bhakti. So you may not be able to explain. You may be able to, if they're willing to hear something, but you have to go step by step, stage by stage. I remember once on a train, I was going from Calcutta to Delhi by train. A group of Muslims had a long discussion with them, hours, point by point. Their arguments, they were going this way and that way, point by point, establishing by logic that God must be a person. And finally, you know, they had nothing else to say, they're absolutely defeated. And they said, "Well, we just don't believe it." So what's the use of discussing? What's the use of discussing? Those are some faith they can begin to. Who is a Mayavadi? Well, I guess I am as well. Mayavadi means those who think that Krishna is produced from Maya. I can't read this writing actually. Could you read this? I can't follow. One of the Gita stanzas says, "Do your duty, don't expect results." That's a well-known verse among all the bunyas. Karma. Kamanya vadikaras te mafaleshu kudachana. I'm not attached to the results. It only appears like that. But I'm not. They'll all quote this verse. We're not attached to the results. You know, I'm doing business 18 hours a day and building a big house, black money, white money, this, that. I'm not attached to the results. You see, I've got it written here. Kamam nevadikarasya. For an ordinary man, it is not possible to think so. He needs some motivation. He has some expectation. He gets disappointed not to expect anything for him. What is the remedy for him? Offer everything to Krishna. Don't be attached to the result for your own sake, but offer everything to Krishna. I mean, don't be attached to the result means don't be attached to, "I will work, I will become a big shot in this material world, I will enjoy." Actually, we should be attached to the result for the sake of offering it to Krishna. Because if we're serving Krishna, we should do it properly, isn't it? If you say, "Well, I'm going to cook something for Krishna, offer it to the deity," but you know, it doesn't matter whether the rice is cooked enough or if it's too much cooked, you know, because we shouldn't be attached to the result. Burn all the chapatis and don't be attached to the result. You said it, Krishna. I'm offering it to you. Now you should be attached to doing it very nicely because we want to do it with love for Krishna. So that's materially we shouldn't be attached to ourselves, but for the sake of Krishna we should. So instead of thinking, I will enjoy the result, if we think, no, I'll do it very nicely and offer it to Krishna, let me do it the best as possible for Krishna. That is the cure for material motivation. Develop spiritual motivation. In spite of all the sadness, our there's a discussion about Acharya may fall down if despite following sadhanas. Well, Krishna consciousness is this, that we read that Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, the science of Krishna consciousness, it's a science. That means there's a process. If you follow the process, you get the result. If you don't properly follow, then you get a different result. So that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, not Chaitanya, all the Shastras have described that there are certain processes to be followed, certain sadhanas to be followed, and certain things, there is things to do, things not to do. Just like in a chemical plant, if you mix all you have, you want to produce some particular product. So there are so many things. If it's complex chemicals, you have to mix different chemicals. At this stage of the process, it should be at this temperature and this pressure. And then you add something else. And this way you produce so many different chemicals. So if you do something a little different, you'll get a different result. Just like by distillation, you can produce alcohol, different kinds of alcohols. So generally for people who like to drink alcohol, they drink ethyl alcohol. But if you produce at the wrong temperature, you'll get methyl. And then you'll have different alcohols, even more. They're all intoxicating, but even more poisonous. So sometimes you find in India so many people die from drinking wrongly produced alcohol, produced at the wrong temperature. So it wasn't done scientifically. It wasn't done at the right temperature. Therefore, so many people die of cheap alcohol. So in the same way, the process of Krishna consciousness, there are so many things. Nishidacha, kutinati, jive hingsham, la puja pratishta jata upashakagam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has described that even if you are progressing in Krishna consciousness, there are still things you have to avoid. Nishidacha, if you don't properly follow all the rules and regulations of sadhana. Kutinati, diplomatic behavior. Jiva hingshan, being envious of others. The desire for money, being worshipped, honored. So these things are very dangerous. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes it's just like a weed. When we're trying to cultivate bhakti lata, it means the creeper of devotion that will grow up to the lotus feet of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. But he describes that there may be weeds which grow up which look like the bhakti lata. They look like the creeper of devotion, but actually they're not. So someone may be chanting, but he may be watering a weed instead of watering the. Sometimes the weed becomes so strong it chokes the real plant. So if we're watering some wrong desire, then it may in time manifest. And even though someone may be in some ways advanced in Krishna consciousness, if there's some offensive mentality or something, lack of faith, whatever it is, then that may manifest. So it becomes very dangerous. We have to practice Krishna consciousness. The basic principle should be followed by everyone. Rising early, chanting rounds, associating with devotees, all these things. For sannyasis, they're warned, especially sannyasis, they're Kanak and Kamini, money and women, they should keep aloof. Traditional Vedic system is that sannyasi will not actually, traditionally, in Vedic system is women don't take initiation at all, but their husband does. And the husband instructs them. The guru will instruct to men, and they will instruct their wives, the same thing. So the husband becomes a guru. But the modern age is different in so many ways. So Prabhupada was preaching Krishna consciousness in the Western world where they don't have that culture of separating men from women, which is actually a prerequisite for human society. Otherwise, what is the main agitation in this material world that makes us forget Krishna is that pungsatstriya mittanibha, the attraction between male and female. So in any civilized society, there are restrictions on that. But in the Western world, they don't like some restrictions. I'm finding that out myself, even within our society. That if you say, now they've allowed this divorce. And it's a very common thing in the Western world. I mean, simply you marry, divorce. So it's a very disturbing thing. So that's the situation in the society there. So unless you follow very strictly certain rules and regulations, and you're in a dangerous position. Actually, one of my godbrothers told me he was speaking with one Madhva sannyasi, Madhva Sampradaya. So he was saying that, I've been sannyasi since my childhood. He's more than middle age now. But whenever I go anywhere, there are so many brahmacharis coming with me, and practically only in darshan for 1 hour a day. I never see women. He said, I can't imagine you're going in these Western countries where it's so degraded situation. And he said, even though I've lived a pure life all my life, he said, I think it may be very difficult to maintain my sannyas in such a position. He said, very frankly. So that is the usual danger. Cannot come in. Someone has money, naturally if someone is preaching Krishna consciousness and others may develop faith, they may like to offer some donation. And if you become attached, oh, I've got so much money. Bewildering. That is the potency of maya, that money can bewilder. Association with the opposite sex can bewilder. Therefore, there are so many restrictions. But for preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world, you need money. Sannyasi will generally say, no, I don't want money. The Prabhupada said, he was always saying to his disciples, bring some money, bring some more money. He wanted, he was happy, yes, bring money. Why? Because he wants to build temples, print books. We have so many things to do. Without this big organization, then all of us today wouldn't be chanting Hare Krishna. Organization is required to spread in so many ways. But organization also brings with it certain, what do you call that? They're built-in defects. That's the very nature. That if the organization means manpower, influence, money, so as long as we're not completely pure, as long as there's even a seed of material desire in our heart, that may come out. Someone becomes a powerful position, maybe influenced by, if there's a seed of material desire in the heart, that may come out. And they may want to dominate others and enjoy being praised, this, that. That's why we always have to remember, Trinada Pisa Mucha, Tavara Pisa Shuna, Amanina Amanina, Kirtaniya Sada. Very difficult, because we're so contaminated. That should be our constant motto. Otherwise, it's very dangerous in this material world. So better be humble, be simple, chant Hare Krishna, go on preaching, follow the rules and regulations. Another thing is, Prabhupada was preaching all over the world. He was anyone who would come to Krishna consciousness, he would accept. But mostly it was young people coming. Indian people weren't coming at that time, hardly, very few. Even though Prabhupada spent most of his time preaching in India, he went to establish Krishna consciousness in the West. He said that my Guru Maharaj instructed me to establish Krishna consciousness in the West, to preach in the West. My own personal desire is to preach in India. So he spent a lot of time in India. But at that time, very few Indian devotees were coming. Now so many are coming. So mostly young people at that time also. Now different age groups are coming. So Prabhupada had to, as Prabhupada said, that an intelligent person can bring a group of fools together and get a job done. So I think he was referring to his disciples. Another, I mean, from his point of view, you shouldn't think like that. But, another time he said that, Lord Ram, when he crossed the sea, he fought with the demons, and he brought back Lakshmi, Sita, to Bharat. So he said, in the same way, I went to the Western countries and fought with the demons, and I brought Lakshmi, money, to Bharat for building temples. He said, and Lord Ram, he had an army of monkeys. I do too. Prabhupada is very heavy. Nowadays, just like I have this question here, how to identify your appropriate guru? So mostly people think, well, who smiles at you, who sings nicely, I don't know. But actually, if you see, Prabhupada was extremely heavy with his disciples, with everybody. Guru means heavy. Prabhupada is definitely the biggest guru in that regard. Extremely strong. I mean, all that, and so many cases of disciples just, most of his disciples actually, they couldn't spend much time with him. Servants, they had to be a very strong devotee to be Prabhupada's personal servant, because any slight thing, he would chastise like him. That was his training. So how to identify your appropriate guru? Well, that is there. Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. The basic qualification, he should have heard the knowledge in Parampara system and he should be fixed in that. And that's the basic. Then so many other things are stated. Should be suitable to teach. Should be properly following. That all comes within. Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. Guru means who has heard and who teaches. And who follows himself. Well, if you're learning guru, then you need a piano guru, but we're talking about Krishna consciousness. This is a difficult age of Kali, therefore we have to take shelter of the holy names. Krishna is close to the word Christ, Christos. Is it so? Yes. Prabhupada pointed this out. The word Christ has come from Krishna. I heard in my childhood, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that unfruitive activities, material, can reduce your miseries and suffering and can give you real happiness. What does that mean? Does that mean Nishkam Karma Yoga? He says, you perform all the activities but surrender these activities to me. But performing material duties are very important. How Prabhupada describes this? Prabhupada describes that as long as we're in this material world, we have two kinds of duties. One is constitutional and one is conditional. Our constitutional duty as spirit soul is to serve Krishna. Our conditional duty is in relation to the body. That means family duties, social duties, brushing our teeth in the morning. That's nothing to do with what is Krishna consciousness. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, Archanam, Nandanam, Dasam, Sakyanatma, Nivedanam. These are our constitutional duties. Then conditional duties, brushing our teeth, dressing, social, family, working, bringing in money to maintain the family. So, Krishna conscious means that we can dovetail our conditional duties in our constitutional activity of serving Krishna. That means all the time you can remember Krishna. When you're brushing your teeth, you can also think of Krishna. When you're working in your job, you're earning money, so you have to offer to Krishna some of that money. And you're maintaining your family with that money, so you have to train your family to be devotees. You have to worship Krishna in your family. So in this way, the conditional activities, which everyone has to perform, can be dovetailed in Krishna consciousness. So, any other questions, or should we just finish with Kirtan?
Guru, what the question was asked. Basically, in the people in the South India, didn't we have this Shankaracharya, as a guru, everybody is accepted, so initiation is not taken.
Actually, this about guru, I mean, why don't you all tell, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Bharata Bhumite Hoila Manusha Janma Ja, Janma Shata Kari Karo Para Upaka. Why don't you all become, you're all having good background. You should all become gurus. Teach Krishna consciousness.
Well, in a family, one person has...
At least when you're older, you can take sannyas. That's the system in Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, at least, isn't it? That someone all their life, they'll practice Krishna consciousness in Grihastha life. In their old age, they'll take sannyas. And then these jiyas, they're mostly all older men, sannyasis. So you can do like that. Anyway, we're interested in Krishna consciousness.
Because if somebody has taken initiation and the guru, they think it's a foreign thing or something.
Ayah means they may think it's a foreign thing, but that's because they don't understand that we're not foreign to Krishna. In the Western countries, they think it's a foreign thing. That means what is the philosophy? We're not the body. You're not an ayah. You may be very proud of your family tradition. But higher than ayah is Krishna, consciousness. They may think there's nothing higher than ayah, but there is. So, on that note, let's chant Hare Krishna, which is the conclusion of everything. And let's dance too. Chant Hare Krishna, dance and